Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Healing Meal. Oh, I'm so... Wow. I'm incredibly drunk. Let me just check this. Recording. Whew, so difficult to minister. Oh, maybe we should just do nothing and drink. That would be boring. We all like knowledge. Knowledge is good if it's the right knowledge. You gotta have the right knowledge, the knowledge of God, right? The knowledge that's actually gonna help you grow, transform, and be set free. Whoa. Oops. Gosh, I think we should just probably drink and get drunk on the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to fix this camera. Whew. I can't do anything. Let's just get drunk. Feel the Spirit of God inside of you, because that's where it is. And that's how he talks to us within, right? Internally. Not externally. Wow. Now he talks in John 2 about the scriptures, says how he empties out the temple. Because they're trading in the temples. And he says, you're not allowed to trade. You're not allowed to trade anything. Illegal. You're meant to get everything from God, from the Father. He gives it to us, right? So, he says, John 2, he turns the tables and he pours out their, let's read it. Why not? Let's read John 2, okay? Let's turn to John 2. And Mark, Luke, and John. Holy, You know, and all your desires and stuff, they will leave. The more that you the more that you want to do God's will and not your own, and that comes over time, you don't do that immediately. We're all growing. Where are we? Okay, so John 2. He says, when it's almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem in the temple courts and he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves. And others were sitting at tables exchanging money. I want to bring bring this closer, but I can't. And others were. I'm so drunk today. I'm really, wow. He scattered the coins of the money changers. It says they're scattered, but in the Greek it says he poured it out. He poured out the coins of the money changers and he overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." And his disciples remembered what is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And he's saying there that he's talking about building the church with your own wisdom. And that's what has happened. And he was saying that that's what happened before and that's what's happened now. Wow. Holy. And so firstly he went to, in John 2, he went to the wedding at Cana of Galilee, right? And then he turned the water into wine, and that was his first miracle. So he turned it into wine, and then he goes straight to the church, and he just pours out their like tips over their money, everything they're trading. So it's all wisdom. It's talking about wisdom. The money there is talking about wisdom, and the wisdom that they're building the church on. They think they're building in their own wisdom, and he's saying, no, you don't get the Father, you don't get to build the temple with your human wisdom. And that's what's happening. They're building it through their own networks. You know, you think you can go from church to church and make it, and give impartations of what you've been given freely from God. Like, God gives it to you. This is your, and it costs you yourself. If you want God, if you want the will of God and you want to live for God, if you want eternal life, then you need to know God. That's what scripture says. If you want eternal life, you need to know God, because that is eternal life. And how do you know God? By being filled with him. And you go to him to get that. You can't go church to church, and now just because you've got a church and your mate's got a church, and you want to go and share impartations, like, hey, what did God give you? Can you give me that as well? Because I haven't got it, and he hasn't given it to me. So can you just put your hands on me and give me a little bit of an impartation, or the knowledge that you've got, or the revelation that you've got? Can you share that with me? And that's what's going on. And they're all trading, you know. Some have got Bible schools, and their kids go to their Bible schools for free, and they're all just sort of just sharing around. You know, and they've got like, they, you know, who are friends of their ministries, and this ministry is a friend of this ministries, and they're sharing, and sort of, you know, say we acknowledge these ones, but we don't acknowledge these ones. These are our friends, and these aren't. And it's like, you know, and they write forwards in each other's books, and then they all sell, and they're lifting each other up, and that thing. And this is the stuff that he's talking about in John 2. That's what he's saying. He's saying, no, you can't just go and trade each other's information. You can't trade information with me and think you're going to reap what's in my spirit to your spirit without you sacrificing what I've had to sacrifice to get what I've got. That doesn't come that way. It's God has the perfect will and destiny for your life, and that comes through sacrificing of your own desires, your own will, all your own idols, and God will smash all your idols, whatever idols they are, all the desires inside of your heart, whatever it is, you know. And he does that continuously so he can get more of his will into us, or let it come, you know, take over more of our soul, because our soul is so filled with our will, our desires, and what we think that needs to come out, so his will, you know, he can get greater. I must decrease so he can increase. And you know, and to have like such a long life of all these desires inside. And I was reading in Acts as well, and you know, I love the Bible, and I love how God, he, and I was saying this earlier, he doesn't do anything like, it's not small for him. Like, when he does something, it impacts a lot. It's not just going to be one little person that's impacted. There's a vast amount of people. Oh, that's right. I was saying it on the Facebook status about the proconsul and how, you know, because he was in Acts where Paul rebuked the sorcerer. It was like the proconsul who was actually seeing the demonstration of the power of God there, and it was like, wow. That was right in front of him. Like, he believed in that second, because, you know, this sorcerer was completely, like, outdone by the power of God. And this man, who was very high up in the Roman guards, like, he was a president over in the Senate, like, president over many, many, many people. Now, if he's converted properly, I mean, we have converts in the church where they're just kind of like, yeah, I believe, but they don't believe, right? They don't really believe. When they really believe, then they're like, well, they go and live for God. You have to. Like, you live for God because he's the only thing that's real, and you get that conversion that takes place in your heart. We don't have that in the church. I believe in Jesus, but there's no conversion where, oh my God, fear of God, I believe, like, he is the only thing, and I now have to go and serve him and preach the gospel. You know, that consumes you. And so because of that conversion that takes place from seeing that type of demonstration, many people are impacted. And so that's what it is. All, you know, scripture has so many layers of revelation on it, and it can mean so many, I don't say mean so many different things, because then you can have all these fake interpretations, but he's clever. The wisdom of God is amazing, and you'll never understand it all. But so even just looking at how he was saying, you know, your old man will dream dreams, you can just see that in so many different ways. Like, old man can also mean your elders. So the elders over you will dream dreams of whatever your desires are, or they will dream dreams of the things that they're desiring, or it's the elders of the church, who are now living out their own dreams inside of their own lives, whatever dreams they want to be living, and not the will of God. And it can also, like, be maybe the dreams of dreams is it's interesting because it's always dealing with you and your flesh as well. So, the desires of your heart, the desires internally of you, need to be the will of God. And when they're the will of God, and when you're one with God, then his will manifest in your life, and everything just works out. But unfortunately, so many hold on to, you know, their will for so long, and God, he grants us grace. Like, there's a long time to repent if we want to do. I mean, we accept Jesus into our heart, and then he just kind of patiently waits for us to submit our will to him as well, you know. And sometimes people just won't do it, and they fight and they kick against the Spirit of God that's inside of them, because here they are, they're trying to do their will, and they don't want to do their will. They don't want to do God's will. So they fight inside of their lives. They're fighting with God, and they're kicking against what the Spirit of God's trying to get them. And so, you know, the only thing that he can do sometimes is just to smash their idols and until they repent and finally give up and stop trying to live the life they want to live, and finally live the life that God has for them. And we see that all the time. Whew, yeah. Wow. Oh, Rondo. So he's talking about there in John 2 about the temple and clearing out the temple, and all of that church hopping, all of the impartation, all of the all of that you try to get from other people and not get it from God, that all comes out. And then the zeal for the Father's house consumes you. That's what it says in Scripture. So you'll be filled with the zeal for the Father's house. You'll be consumed with God yourself. And it's from that place that you have authority, I guess. Oh, sugar, I don't know. This is not going the way I intended today. So the dreams as well, just right, you know, it's that's the other thing. Like, your dreams can lead you the wrong way. Like, they can. Your old man will dream dreams, and your young men will have visions. There is like discern. They'll discern the mind of God. They'll discern the mind of Christ, and they'll prophesy, which is that they're going to speak what God's saying. And that young man there is the youth. Oh, it's the youth. And it's that youth is the born-again nature, the born-again creation, the spiritual you. You're born again, you're brand new in the spirit. And so that creation discerns the mind of God. And so that's what you want to feed. That's what you want to grow in. That's what you want to focus on. And that's most importantly what you want to be led by, is the inner man. That discernment of the mind of God, that discernment, and have that mind of Christ, and not try to be led by, not be led by your desires and the things that you're dreaming and wanting, because that's your flesh, that's the soul realm. But God can also divinely inspire the soul through your dream. So that's discernment, but I guess he's trying to get us to become more dependable on our new creation man, on our inner man, on our born-again creation. It's discerning the mind and being led by that spirit within us. And so what we're going to look at, what we're going to read. So the pioneers thing is the pioneer. I've been seeing this sign, the pioneers, everywhere I go. And they're pioneering. And pioneering is you're pioneering the spiritual. You're pioneering in the new spiritual walk. You're learning to live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and you're bringing the Spirit into the earth. And the new creation man, the new you, brings in the Spirit. He says, in the last days I'll pour out from my Spirit. He says, from my Spirit I think what he's saying is, he's like, in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. But it's like, I'll pour out my Spirit, or I'll come to them as a Spirit in the last days. I'm going to come to them as a Spirit in the last days. That's what he's saying there. In the last days, I'm going to come to them as a Spirit. And so he's going to come to us as a Spirit through our bodies, inside of us. That's how Jesus is going to be made manifest, inside of our bodies. In those last days, I'm going to come to them. In those last days, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And all flesh there means all of their human nature and their soul. And he will pour it out, which means come to them like liquid. It's going to be like liquid. And it's going to pour through our body. That's what Spirit is. It's a liquid. And we get that through the blood of Jesus. It's all done by it because of the blood. So I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I will come to them like a Spirit. I'll come to them as a Spirit, not like a Spirit. I'll come to them as the Spirit. I'll come to them as the Spirit, because it's the Spirit of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all one God. So there's no, it's just God manifested three different ways. So first, in the Old Testament, we had God the Father, who was in heaven, and he spoke through only his prophets, you know, and they went through some pretty heavy crap to be able to listen to the voice of God. I mean, like, he broke them. And then in the New Testament, we have God coming as the Son, so as a human, in a human form, but divinely God. And then he had to go, it's better for you, he says. And so he came for that short time, right? 30 years. And 33 years, and he did 3 years of ministry on the earth. And in that time, he gave us the gospel, and he said, now this is who I am. I'm love. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And he gave the gospel, and he said, and anybody wants to be saved from their sin, which is, there's a power of sin on the earth that keeps you tormented, and it keeps you locked in the human natural realm and oppressed and controlled by sin and lust and desires and all that stuff. He goes, when, if you want to ever be free from that, I'm the way, and I will give you the power to overcome that. Believe in me and I will come to you. Okay, so he left his gospel on the earth, and that was the gospel. He came to us as the Son, and then he was crucified for sin, and he became the, he's the, you know, and by believing in him we become righteous. We're the righteousness now of God. But he got crucified, and then he goes back to heaven. And then he says, but I'm going to send you a helper. Okay, so he's going to send now the Spirit. And that's the third person of the Trinity. And that's like the third day as well. It's like in the third day, in the last day, or in the third day, I will raise them up. And in the last day, I will pour out my Spirit on them. And in the last day, it means it's the last, it's the eternal, the finish, the completer, or the consummation of the age. So I'm gonna send them the Spirit. And he says to them in the last day, it says in the Greek, I'm going to come to them as a Spirit. So he's come to us three times. God's very personal, and he's in it. Oh, it makes me sad. Oh, Jesus. So he's very personal. And at first he spoke through prophets. And to speak through the prophets in the Old Testament, you wouldn't want to have been a prophet. They were very lonely. They couldn't talk. There was nobody understood them, because nobody, they were also human natured, and not everybody had the Spirit. So it was like these weirdos who were hearing from God, who would have them do really weird things, and things that looked completely other, right, to the human eye. And they would speak these words to the earth, like to the people, and these words weren't from earth, they were from heaven, and they spoke divinely inspired words. And you know, and it destroys your human nature. It destroys everything that you thought you knew. It destroys your whole humanity. And to have God power through you that way, you know. And so he chose only a few people, and he gave it that way. And it was tough for those Old Testament prophets. My gosh, you know. And imagine you're seeing all that stuff. You just want to be with him. You don't want to be here with this humanity that you're seeing, which is just so messed up, and they can't hear you. And you're like, how do you get through to them, you know? And so he came as a man. He's like, turn from your sin. Turn from your sin, guys. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. It's destroying you. It's destroying you. It's destroying you. You know, and Jeremiah's like, woe is me, you guys, stop it. You're killing me. I'm just like, he can't stop crying over them because they're in so much pain, and it's just because they won't stop sinning. They keep sinning. They keep living for themselves and their own desires. They won't do the will of God because the sin's blocking them from hearing and seeing God, and their pride, they don't want to do what somebody's telling them to do. And it was just disastrous, you know, horrible. And then Jesus came, and he gave a gospel, and it's been 2,000 years and we still haven't received the gospel properly. I mean, it's been watered down to make Jesus seem like he's okay. And as I said about this, like the money changers in the temple, I mean, they're just really sharing impartation with everybody. Everyone's going to different churches and they're trying to share the same different type of message. I mean, if you're in the Catholic Church, you're not allowed to, you know, you say, well, I'm part of the Catholic faith, and then you're not allowed to look at some other type of faith. Or they kind of, you know, if you go to the Pentecostals are kind of like, you got to sign off on agreements and things about what you believe, you know, like, not just believe, but like there's some things that you can and can't teach, and you know, you can only, things are limited and controlled. It's control. Religion's all about control, and God isn't. And this is what Jesus was saying in John 2, that they're using their own human wisdom to build the temple, to build the church. They think they think it's smart by partnering with one another. They think it's smart going to each other's churches and talking in them, so they're all sort of on the same page. And there's no, you know, they think it's smart to go and try to bring unity by being kind to each other's faith or each other's religion or each other's differences in doctrine. And, you know, if there's differences in doctrine, can we just kind of overlook that type of thing? Can we be unified as a Christian body? And whatever it is they're trying to do in their own wisdom, to try and keep everybody on the same page. And you see it through Christianity. It's like everybody's kind of like the same. And there's like no real standout. They're kind of all, because they've all been taught, they're sharing each other's stuff. But, and he's saying, like, he pulled that out. He's like, no, you aren't to share impartations. You're not meant to be doing all that type of stuff, because you're meant to come to me and I'm in the Father, and the Father gives it to you. And that's what he says with when he says it, like, stop turning my Father's house into a market. Stop thinking that you can trade with each other. You know, you can't go to the courts of heaven and trade. That's witchcraft. You go to the Father and you pray. And you ask him, you petition God, and you make your supplications to God, and then he'll tell you what, you know, if he can or not. It's always God. It's not us trying to be in control. It's us losing control and letting him control us, letting him be God and us not God. And then he will come to us in by his spirit, it says. And that's where it goes on into John 3, and it talks about being born again. Being born again of the spirit. So he's saying, everything that you've traded, everything that you think you've got an impartation from, that's all going to be cleared out. That's going to go. We're going to destroy the temple. Don't rebuild it. I'll rebuild it if you let me. If you let me. If you come to me. And let me rebuild it. But that destruction of the temple means it's all got to go, and that's where you have to continue to surrender your will, because it always wants to come back and try to do it their way, your way. And then Nicodemus asks, you know, how does one be born again? And then that's how Jesus goes on to talk about how to be born again. Okay, and you can read that for yourself in John 3. So you be born again, and then that's where he comes to us as a spirit. Okay, and so even with the dreams and the old men will dreams, and just looking at the word old men there and the elders, like, so even the elders of the church, it's like elders in sense of your age, and they're, you know, those who have experience because of age, and they're mature in their age, but that doesn't mean that they are mature in their new creation man, in their spiritual man. So they might, and that's maybe using the wisdom of their age, the wisdom of their years, to judge. And because of that dream, like the dream there is like why you're sleeping. So it's like you're still sleeping, because if you're in that old man, if you're in that old judging by, because I'm so old and I've got all this experience, I can make these wise judgments against this. I can see this is wrong or this isn't right, whatever. And that's he says dreaming is actually, well, in Jude it talks about it as beguile, like it's imagination. And it's not the right conduct, because it's actually you're still in a sleeping mode. you're sleeping. These older ones who rely on their aged wisdom are sleeping. They haven't been born again. They haven't been awakened in their spirit, and now they're not discerning the mind of Christ, and they're not seeing what it is God's doing. They're sleeping because of relying on their aged wisdom. So you can read it in that context as well, which is, wow, you can read it in any context, you know. Your young men, your youth, the born again, the spiritual nature, it'll discern, it will perceive what God's doing, and that comes because He's poured out His Spirit. So we feel the Spirit. We're yielding to the Spirit. We're allowing the Spirit to consume our soul and our flesh, and we're welcomed Him. We're receiving Him, and now because of that Spirit, we're receiving it, and we're discerning the mind of God. We're prophesying the things of God. We're prophesying what God wants to do. We're prophesying the mind of God into the earth. So it doesn't matter if you listen to this or you don't listen to this, the words are going to go forth into the earth and they're performed. He just needs a mouthpiece that will say the things He wants to say and not rely on the aged wisdom of a just because you're an elder, because you've been you're not the old Sanhedrin. He just wants somebody who's new in their creation, who will allow the Spirit to speak through them and say the things that He wants to say into the earth. Just like in the Old Testament with the prophets, they said the things that God wanted them to say, regardless of what it looked like and whatever the cost was going to be. And unfortunately, this time in the church, because of these these networks that have been built and these false impartations that are carrying on right throughout the churches, you know, sharing each other's teaching, bringing it in, can we all get a little bit here, there, and let's network and partner together and be big buddies and build the church, yeah, 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 and all be unified, yeah, 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 and all get along, you know, and our kids all grew up together and like, look how far we've all gone. Like, no, you know what I mean? That's not how it's going. Wrong. It's bad, bad. Bad, don't do it. That's the wrong way to do it. He's told us that. He's saying, and because of that, that's building on your own wisdom. That's the old man. You're dreaming your own dreams, what you envision the church to be, what you envision like God's kingdom to look like, what you think God wants, mixed in a little bit with what you really want, you know what I mean? Let's just bring it all together and let's just, oh, that seems good, let's all do that. And God's like, no. And this is the youth harvest, the billion soul harvest, is they're gonna come in and they're gonna be people like, you know, who 3 years ago didn't know what a Gentile was, and like 3 years later they're preaching as a mouthpiece of God, prophesying into the earth, and it's what they're prophesying is actually happening. And I'll tell you what, that can be scary a bit too, when sometimes you're prophesying the judgment, what God is judging, and that comes to pass. But then you can't work it out in your wisdom, in your own aged wisdom. You've just got to stay. He says, stay young like little children, right? And just let me do it and try and work it all out. Okay. So you've got that, and you've got also with the Joel's army. It's Joel's army, they don't break rank and they stay low. These young ones, the youth that are the Joel's army, who are filled with the oil, who are filled with the Spirit, have had that Spirit come to them, and they are prophesying so they can see, they're discerning the mind of God. They go in through those prophetic windows, they go in through those prophetic doors, those prophetic opportunities, those prophetic openings that the Spirit of God opens for them. They go into those and they access what needs to be accessed, and they bring the kingdom. And they don't break rank, which means they don't think they're better than what they are. They don't try to be something else. They just let the Spirit of God use them where they're at, how they're at, and however the Spirit of God chooses to use them. And they stay low. low in humility, and they learn the ways of the Lord, and they just let themselves just be instruments, right? But they have no fear. They have no fear because they know their God. And that's not much on that. I'm not really going to talk too much about it because I didn't really look it up today. Really just kind of looked at the dream thing and the pioneering, which is just where the pioneers are just the first ones to go out. They usually got the, you know, they're treading new ground, and they're going out and they're just doing what hasn't normally been done before. And you know, the church and Christianity, what's going on, that's all been done before. Because Jesus pulled that down in John 2 and he said, no, your money changes and you're trading in my Father's temple. You're trading the Holy Spirit, which is the doves. You're trading the sheep, which is the followers. And you're building yourselves up, you know, images. So Revelation 9:17 talks about, I saw in the vision the horses. So they discerned. This is in Little John, in the John, 1 John 2 and 3, where John the Revelator, he's getting these revelations from God, and he writes the book of Revelation. He says, I've seen the vision of these horses, right? And he says, out of the mouths. Should we read it just quickly? What's the time? I like talking. It's good. I love talking. Not everybody likes listening, but I like talking. I think God can use that. Yeah, but it's bad to try and trade. Don't trade. That's a big no-no. Trying to buy the gift of God without paying the price. But you know, anyway, where am I? 9:17. The horses and the riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. And so out of their mouths come the sword of the Spirit. So these horses are the youth. These horses are those born again in the Spirit who are coming out of the new creation man, who are allowing themselves to be used by God without that aged wisdom, judgmental Sanhedrin type of old man nature, the human nature. It's a spiritual nature only, and just speaking the words of God. And those words are going forth, and it's out of their mouths, which is the sword, and God's Spirit is the fire, and that fire is that Spirit goes forth out of their mouths, and it purifies. Fire purifies. So out of their mouths is the sword of the Spirit, which purifies. It's the fire from heaven, and the brimstone is God's judgment. And that's the word there is Theon, and the word God is Theon, Theon as well, but this is Theon, and it's from God, so it's God's judgment from God that's coming out of their mouths. So not only is this fire out of their mouths, the sort of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, so it's not them judging, it's just the Spirit that's coming from their mouths is judging and purifying all things. It's God's judgment coming upon the earth by the power of the Spirit, and it's purifying, and it's cleansing, and it's an awesome, unstoppable power that can't be stopped by anybody. And this is what that prophecy from Bob Jones is like: they'll be the greatest army you've ever seen, and nothing will be able to stop them. It's unstoppable. Why? So, well, why? Because these people want God, and they'll give up anything for it. Because they're sick of their lives. They don't want their lives anymore. Life's hard out there. People are dying left, right, and center because all they're doing is working themselves to the bone, and they're getting sick, and they hate their lives. And we don't want to live a life of hate, and we don't want to be full of hate, and we don't want to have a life that we hate. We want to have a life that we like, a life full of joy, of peace, where we know who we are and what we're doing here. You know, it seems crazy that you just come here to live for 80, 90 years and you're working 9 to 5 till you're 70 to make money to build it, to tithe 10% of it to a church that's not even built by God, to have a job that you can't take the house with you, you can't take anything with you. There's got to be something more. It has to be something more. Something that's, you know, something that's sustainable. There's got to be something more for it. And this is it. This is the kingdom. This is the throne of God. The throne room of God is the power of God. And it's He will come to you by His Spirit. I will come to them now in spirit form, He says. I've come to them as a voice from heaven, as the Father, through the prophets. That didn't really go down well. So I came to them as Jesus, as a man, like them. Still 2,000 years later, not many have received it. And now I'm going to come to them a third time. But in the third time I come to them, in the third day, it says, I will raise them up. And I will be their God and they will be my people. Because I'm going to come to you now in spirit form. I'm not just going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to come as the Spirit this time. And I'm going to kick out every other spirit that's tried to be your God. I'm going to smash every single idol that's in your life that you've built up and you've worshipped and it's destroyed your life. I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to get rid of every other spirit that's tried to keep you worshipping something else other than me, because I'm your God and I am the Spirit and I am real and I'm coming to you. And you're going to know me as God inside of your body, and you're going to do my will. And you're going to live for me. And you're going to bring the sword of the Spirit into the earth. And you're going to remove every bit of wickedness off the earth. First out of your own body. And then out of everybody else's. And you will have eternal life. And you will know me. And you will know eternal life. And you will know that this is the only thing to live for. You will know that these words are not lies. You will know that this is the only way. And the only life on the planet. You'll know what life is, you'll know what love is, you'll know what the real world, what this is all about and why you're here and the importance of it. And you'll probably make videos and tell other people about it if you're told to do that. You'll do whatever you have to do. And you'll know that it's only about an audience of one, and He purposely does this. I mean, there's preachers out there, they've got 20, 30,000 people looking at them and listening to their message. But has He come to them as the Spirit? No, because they're still listening to those teachings. And John 2 says, that's not okay. I'm going to get rid of that stuff. So if they're still listening to those teachings, then He hasn't come to them as Spirit, which goes to show that there's thousands, millions out there who haven't been risen up in the third day, who haven't had God come to them in the spirit form. They're crying, pour out your spirit, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, come. But He comes to you as a spirit, and then He's inside of you. He doesn't go anywhere. You're not going and trying to get teaching from other people to try and get closer to God or to learn how to do it. You are now have received Him. And now that's eternal life. And that's it. You know your God. He knows you. You know you're saved. You know the eternal life. You know where you're going and who you're going to spend eternity with. No more do you listen to an opinion of a man. No more do you slave away in Babylon, killing yourself to try and make a couple of $100 because you think that that's what eternal life is. He's going to smash that. He's going to smash it all. And finally, once you're finished in all your sin and all the dirt and all the crap, and you finally destroyed yourself because you hate, because you can't give up at all, so He comes and does it for you, but always the hard way, Once you lose all that and you finally realize that he's God and you're not, you'll know him. And you will realize what's worth, what's important and what's not. And you'll be changed like that suddenly. Suddenly, you'll know your God. And suddenly, you'll wake up to yourself and realize that everything that you've lived for was a waste of time. And you will thank him and you will worship him for not letting you spend another minute doing those things and wasting your life like these 70-year-olds who have done it for 70 years because they haven't repented. So he hasn't come to them in spirit. But you will receive it. Isn't that good? It's good. It is good. It's very good. I promise it's good. And he says, and then he says, pretty much, get all this crap out of here in John 2. Get it all out of here. Get out of here. And then he says, only the passion for my Father's house can consume you. None of this stuff is allowed to consume you. It's consumed you. It's consumed you. You've allowed this church garbage to consume you. And you've lost to the passion, what it's meant to be. I'm the passion, and you're meant to be consumed with passion for me. You're meant to be overly in love with me. And these people haven't experienced that. You go into a church and they're not experiencing passion. They're experiencing an external God who's still somewhere out there. Because he hasn't come to them in spirit. And that's why the Jew said, "What's it's taken us 46 years to build this temple. What are you talking about? You're going to demolish it in 3 days. And as a day is like 1,000 years, right? And in the third day I'll raise them up. What is it's taken 46 years, you know? 46 years to build this temple. And so it's again another 46 years, another 46 years. Anyway, so we go on to John 2:27. I'm going to close now. John the Baptist said, no one can receive anything unless God gives it to them from heaven. That's it. You can't receive anything unless God's given it to you from heaven. So get rid of all your own ideas, your own desires, your own will, everything you think you know, before it's taken from you. Just submit. And say, all of you, God, and none of me. All of you, Jesus, and none of me. Fill me with your will. Fill me with your desire. Fill me with your passion. I want zeal for your house. Let it consume me. Remove everything that I've learned that isn't of you. And just teach me your way. And give me everything in my life that you have for me. And everything that's not from your will for my life, take it out. I don't care what it costs. Destroy it. I want the perfect will for my life because I want you to come to me in spirit. Come to me now, this time, by the Spirit, so I can know you and I can have eternal life. All right, God bless you guys. Have a good week and donate to Roar Street Ministries. We could use some support. We've got no support. Zero. Zero support. Everyone just, whatever, leaves. Or dies or something. Oh, God, I don't understand. People like to make agreements and they don't stick to them. Why would you do something like that? Because they say that's old? No, it's not. Because you can't do it otherwise. Right? God's got wisdom in the way he does it, but that's okay. He will always work it out because that's what he does. If it's not God, let it burn. If it's not God, let it fall and be destroyed. I don't want it anyway, right? I don't even want this ministry. I could just go and like be a teacher, make 100k a year and know God and be saved and don't worry about anybody else. Like, this is not important, you know, to me. It's too important to God, so it's important to me, but I don't have to do it. But nobody else is doing it. I'm just letting you use me. Everyone's still messed up in their mind, like, well, are we supposed to do ministry or are we not supposed to do ministry? Aren't we doing this? Isn't there a new way? Aren't we doing a new thing? We are doing a new thing. We are doing a new thing, but you still need to have a ministry, right? How else do you do it? Like, do you go to work 9 to 5 to pay the bills? What do? You know, you listen to God and obey God. Okay, there's still a thing that he's doing. And I can hear him very clearly. He's made me the leader of this ministry. He's given me this ministry, just like he gives you. If you're the pioneer of whatever you're pioneering, then you're the leader of that. I mean, he entrusts it to you to do it. So just listen and do what God tells you to do and take the steps as you go, instead of trying to judge on your own old wisdom, the aged wisdom. Actually just be, just like, whatever, let the Spirit do it. But whatever, God will do whatever, and God bless you guys anyway. And I shall talk to you all next week. I'll talk to you in about 3 minutes on Facebook. Bye.